Well, happy Mother's Day to all our moms and women figures in our lives. And we pray that you are honored today and you feel loved by your family and your church family. Amen. I also am excited to announce that Julie and I are going to be grandparents. The little pumpkin will be coming in October, and so we are excited. 14, 15 weeks, the size of an avocado. I don't know. We're 16 weeks. Okay, so we are excited to be grandparents in that season of our life, and so you'll see me in the days and weeks ahead, big smile, and so we're excited about that. At the top of the stairs of our home is a window, and it has a nice view of the neighborhood, and even though there is a hole in the screen at the bottom. But recently I've noticed that hole in that screen mesh is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Right? Mystery. Last week I was in my upstairs study working when I heard a noise, and I've heard it before, but I thought, maybe it's just a bush or a branch hitting the side of the house, and didn't think anything of it. But I figured it out. It was coming from that upstairs window. What's happening? So I walk over, and there's a bird ripping the mesh from my screen. How dare it? So I tap on the window, and the bird flies away, but with a piece of screen mesh in its mouth. And so now it was a little hole, but now it's gone pretty big, good size. Now, according to Google, in the spring, it's common for birds, especially finches and sparrows, to tear apart window screens to build their nests. Right? I'm aware this morning that some of you, it may be a difficult day honoring or celebrating Mother's Day. She's no longer living, and you can't call, you can't text her to get advice, you can't get together and share some time anymore. Maybe your mom, like mine, lives far away, and you can't be together as much. Maybe you had a challenging childhood which resulted in a very complicated relationship with your mom. Or your relationship with your mom is currently difficult. Maybe as a mother, you have a strained relationship with the child or with an adult son or an adult daughter. Maybe you lost a child. Or today is tough because you're not a mom yet. I want to speak to all the women today, even if you're not a mother. Whether you're single, single again, a wife, mother, aunt, sister, sister-in-law, grandmother, great-grandmother, or mother-in-law, listen this morning. God places infinite value on you as a woman made in His image. God places infinite value on you as a woman made in His image. In a society that is trying to redefine a woman and redefine a man, God and His Word celebrate motherhood because it was and still is God's idea. We as a church honor our moms and all the women in our lives, but it's God who places the greatest worth on women. And although I may be speaking specifically to the women here this morning from God's Word, God's truth is for all of us. Amen? The same principles applies to the men here today, so don't tune out, don't check out, because it's Mother's Day. This is for my wife, right? Or my mom, or whoever. Just hang with us. So what does a tiny hole in my window screen have to do with Mother's Day? This once tiny hole has grown quite big now, and annoying or not, that finch or that sparrow ripping the mesh from my window screen is dedicated to building their nest at my expense. Building a nest for their young, this mama bird is committed. Mothers are like finches. They're like sparrows, dedicated to protecting, steadfast to doing all they can for their family, those they love. We often admire a mother's devotion to her family and to her church family. Mothers need to be honored, not just one day a year, but every day. My message title this morning on this Mother's Day is Anna's Devotion. Anna's Devotion. Tucked into only just one gospel, Luke's, is the story of Anna. And to set up her story, we must first read the context. It's the story of when Jesus was born in Bethlehem and Joseph and Mary are taking him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And so the story begins in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. And when the time came for Mary's purification offering at the temple, as required by the laws of Moses, after the birth of a child, his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. For in these laws God had said, if a woman's first child is a boy, he shall be dedicated to the Lord. At that time, Jesus' parents also offered their sacrifice for purification. Either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons was the legal requirement. Well, that day, a man named Simeon, a Jerusalem resident, was in the temple. He was a good man, very devout, filled with the Holy Spirit, and constantly expecting the Messiah to come soon. For the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen him, God's anointed king. The Holy Spirit had impelled him to go to the temple that day. And so when Mary and Joseph arrived to present the baby Jesus to the Lord in obedience to the law, Simeon was there and took the child in his arms, praising God. Lord, he said, now I can die content, for I have seen him as you promised me I would. I have seen the Savior you have given to the world. He is the light that will shine upon the nations, and he will be the glory of your people, Israel. Joseph and Mary just stood there, marveling at what was being said about Jesus. Simeon blessed them, but then he said to Mary, a sword shall pierce your soul, for this child shall be rejected by many in Israel, and this to their undoing. But he will be the greatest joy of many others, and the deepest thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. Joseph and Mary obey the purification rites required by the laws of Moses, and so they bring their own offerings to the Lord. Simeon, who I've actually preached on before, he wanted to see the Messiah before he died. And Simeon takes baby Jesus in his arms and he begins to praise the Lord. Mary and Joseph are in awe as Simeon blessed them. Then Luke here introduces us to another character in the story, Anna. Continuing on, verse 36 of Luke chapter 2. Anna, a prophetess, was also there in the temple that day. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the Jewish tribe of Asher and was very old, for she had been a widow for 84 years following 7 years of marriage. She never left the temple, but stayed there night and day and worshiping God by praying and often fasting. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she also began thanking God and telling everyone in Jerusalem who had been awaiting the coming of the Savior that the Messiah had finally arrived. What do we know about Anna? Anna's name means gracious, gracious woman, one who gives. Well, we know that she lived in Jerusalem. Anna was a prophetess like Miriam and Deborah and Huldah in the Old Testament. Women were not excluded from the prophetic role of speaking for God. She was among those honored with the right of prophetic utterance. a special gift of declaring and interpreting God's message. Don't forget, beginning of the New Testament, God was silent hundreds of years with no prophecies. But suddenly, upon the coming of the Messiah, God spoke through Anna, Simeon. What else do we know about Anna? Anna was the daughter of Phanuel, whose name is mentioned in Genesis 32. You remember the story when Jacob wrestled with God, calling that place Peniel. Now, Peniel, a derivative of this name, means the face of God. And here, Anna is literally seeing the face of God in her arms, seeing the baby Jesus. Anna was from the tribe of Asher, which, if you do your history, it's in the area of Galilee. And it was said in John chapter 7 to search the scriptures and to see that no prophet ever comes from Galilee. But here we have Anna, a prophetess. Isn't it cool how God works? Everything is tied together. She was a godly widow of great age. Widows back in that time period didn't have it easy. They were often neglected and often exploited. In Exodus 22, widows were not to be taken advantage of. It was the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, God himself defends the cause of the widow. In Isaiah 1, God instructs the people to plead the widow's case. Anna had been a widow for 84 years, putting her, as some scholars believe, to be over 100 years old. And though she was a young widow and had lived with her husband for only 7 years, she never married again. Anna understood sorrow. She understood pain. She understood grief. But she also sought God. She spent her time in the temple until her dying day, worshiping God through prayer and fasting. Anna may have never left the temple. In fact, she may have lived in the temple. Some believe that she stayed in an almshouse, which would have been maintained by temple charities. Maybe because she was a prophetess, she lodged there, so she was nearby when needed to advise those who desired to know God. Anna worshiped night and day, fasting and praying faithfully, relentlessly. And at her age, she didn't hold a job, of course, so she gave herself to her devotion, fasting twice a week and praying night and day. She lived a life of prayer, giving herself to it both publicly and privately. And through her prayers, she served the Lord. You see, the religious leaders and the religious Pharisees also fasted twice a week, and they made long, drawn-out prayers, but they were serving themselves. They were serving their own pride and not God. Anna served God in worship, in fasting, in prayer, from a pure motive to honor God with her very life. In her old age, Anna came up to Mary and Joseph right after Simeon had blessed them, joining in with that prayer, with that song. And she was so constant, so consistent, she could not miss this opportunity. And she also gives thanks to God. And as a prophetess, she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Many Jewish people of Jerusalem were waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the Savior to come and to bring redemption to the nation of Israel. And here, baby Jesus was in Jerusalem, and most of them didn't recognize him. They didn't believe that the Son of God would be born in a manger from Bethlehem. But after waiting possibly decades, Anna, her faith was rewarded. She was a witness that day of their spiritual deliverance. It was here. Jesus was here. Anna's devotion. Anna's devotion. Her devotion leaps off of the page here in these three short verses. She was constant in her worship to God. She was constant in her fasting and prayer. Anna was consistent in her divine service to the Lord. It didn't matter if it was daylight or nighttime. She was fully devoted to God. Anna is a picture of true devotion and godliness. Well, how can a follower of Jesus learn from her life? How can we look at her and say, I want to be like that? What can we learn from her life? Well, the first thought this morning is a mother is grateful. A mother is grateful. And she, talking about Anna, also began thanking God. She came right alongside Simeon as they were holding and looking at the baby Jesus with Joseph and Mary standing there, and she also began thanking God. Even at an old age, Anna thanks the Lord. You see, when you come to realize that God has sent a Savior for you, the first reaction should be to thank Him. Be like the one leper who returned healed with gratitude in his heart, thanking Jesus. You see, the heart of a follower of Jesus should be a grateful heart. Never lose gratitude for what Jesus has done for you. We sang about it this morning, the love of God. Don't allow your age or getting older to make you bitter in this life. Unfortunately, there are churches filled with older saints, but they're not like Anna. They're bitter and unkind and ungrateful. Choose to be like Anna. Choose to be a grateful follower of Jesus. As you get older, as I get older, become thankful for God's faithfulness, God's mercies. Lamentations 3:19-23, we know it. The memory of my suffering and homelessness is bitterness and poison. My spirit can't help but remember and am depressed. I call all this to mind, therefore I will wait. Certainly the faithful love of the Lord hasn't ended. It's not finished. Certainly God's compassion isn't through. They are renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Even though you go through physical or emotional pain, choose to be grateful to God. God's love is faithful. And oh, by the way, it never ends. Cling to that. Cling to Him. Great is His faithfulness towards you today. Anna thanked God. She had a heart of gratitude. A mother, a believer here this morning, is grateful for all of God's faithfulness and mercies. How else can a follower of Jesus learn from Anna's life? Well, a mother shares her faith. And she also began thanking God and telling everyone that the Messiah had finally arrived. Anna told everyone in Jerusalem, especially those who had been waiting for the coming of the Savior, that He was finally here. I can imagine Anna shuffling along eagerly, wanting to talk with some friends who were waiting expectantly for the Messiah, hurrying down the path to some home or the town square of those that she knew were waiting and praying for the Savior to come. And in her excitement to tell them, I've seen the Savior. I've seen the Messiah. He's here. He's come to set the captives free. Jesus the Savior is born. I've held Him. Anna becomes an evangelist, using her gift and call as a prophetess, a preacher, to declare the good news. Jesus saves. Jesus is here. Jesus loves. She encouraged others to put their trust in Him. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, Paul wrote this, "How can people have faith in the Lord and ask Him to save them if they have never heard about Him?" How can they do that, right? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? Aren't you glad someone told you about Jesus? We have to do that to others. And how can anyone tell them without being sent by the Lord? The scriptures say it is a beautiful sight to see even the feet of someone coming to preach the good news. Anna was not only a prophetess, right, speaking for God, but she was also a preacher telling others the good news. If you believe in the gospel, what Jesus has done in you, then tell others. Your mother may have even been an influence in your giving your life to Jesus. My own mom was influential in my giving my heart to the Lord at age 7. Mothers, you are called to share with your family, your friends, your neighbors, the good news that Jesus saves. Moms, the Lord has sent you today. Anna shared her faith with others. A mom, a believer, shares their faith, the good news of Jesus and what he's done in their life. Well, how else can a follower of Jesus learn from the example of Anna's life? Well, I just said it. A mother is an example. A mother is an example. As I say that, I don't want to add pressure that you are already under. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you are made in his image, moms, mothers, women, he's there to give you the strength. What an example that Anna must have been to the young women struggling with the desire to marry. Or as an example of how she could understand and identify with others who were grieving widows in that community. Even in her old age, she was devoted to serving God. She was in the temple worshiping, fasting, and praying night and day. Hear me this morning, Anna is proof that you never age out of worshiping God. Here is proof. You never age out worshiping God. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. The godly shall flourish like palm trees and grow tall as the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted into the Lord's own garden and are under his personal care. Think about that. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit and be vital and green. This honors the Lord and exhibits his faithful care. He is my shelter. There is nothing but goodness in him. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit and be vital and green. This, again, honors the Lord when you produce fruit and are growing and are fruitful. No matter what your age, you have something to be grateful for. No matter how old you feel, you have a faith that others need to hear. No matter if you were born in the 1900s, I was there too. You can be an example to others. Anna was an example to those around her. A mother, a believer, is an example for others to follow. Anna's devotion. Three little verses. Devotion is something we should be constant in. Devotion is something we should be constant in. Scripture says to pray always. Even if you're an older follower of Christ, it's amazing to see you thriving in acts of devotion, not becoming weary in well-doing, not believing that you've arrived and you are above fasting and you are above prayer, but are motivated even more to be devoted to God until you see him face to face. There's something tender in your heart as you grow and mature in your faith, as you get up there in years, that Jesus is still precious to you. Jesus loves me, this I know. It's still tender in your heart. You haven't allowed your heart to callous and get bitter from life. We all have those moments in life where it hurts and it's a struggle and there's pain. the challenge, the example from Anna's life is to be in love with Jesus. Sometimes your most productive years in spiritual service to God can come in your later years. I'll say it again. Sometimes your most productive years in spiritual service to God can come in your later years. Anna was constant in her ministry of intercession. She was hopeful for the redemption of Israel. She shared that this baby Jesus that she was holding is a reason to praise and to be thankful to God. She made sure that everyone was aware that God is doing something really special through this child. No, I know it's not Christmas. But here's a part of the Christmas story of Anna and her life. That finch or sparrow ripping the screen mesh from my window is building a nest for her young. She's fully committed, dedicated, and devoted to her purpose. You are never too old to be devoted to God. You are never too old to be devoted to God, to worship God, to be thankful to God, to pray and fast and intercession for others, for God's church, for Peace Chapel. We need you, intercessors. To my question this morning, are you and Anna devoted? Do you have gratitude in your heart for all that God has done for you? Does your life exemplify gratefulness to God? Or does God owe you something? What are you grateful to God for? Does God even know? Of course He does, but can you tell Him? Who in your life can you share what Jesus has done in your heart? Who needs to hear the good news of Jesus in your world or hear it again? There's people around where you live, work, go to school, live life that need to hear how Jesus changed your life. And can I just stop for a second and say this? Don't stop praying for your children, for your adult children, your prodigal kids. Don't stop praying for them. They may be a million miles away from the Lord. You keep praying. You keep believing God. Don't stop. Keep bringing them up before the Lord. Who needs your arm around them to encourage this week? God wants you to encourage others. Who can you be an example to of being a fully devoted follower of Jesus? What would Peace Chapel look like and be like if we all had grateful hearts? If we all shared our faith in what God has done in us? If we all led by example, being devoted in service to God, devoted, faithful in coming to church, faithful in giving of our tithes and offerings, faithful in worship, faithful in encouraging others, fully devoted followers. Guess what? It starts with you and it starts with me. Let's take to heart Anna's devotion and be fully devoted followers of Jesus. Let's pray.